We're live. Welcome, everyone, to week two of the Pokeballs podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Lee Osiris, and joined by my good friend, Scott. Also, S9 Vibe is his handle online. How are you doing, mate?
I'm doing good, mate. Excited for another podcast. I think people enjoyed the first one.
Yeah,
some really nice, nice feedback for the people. Thank you for watching it. For starters, anyone that watched it all the way through. We've got 12 plays on Spotify as well, so, you know, it's not bad. It's not bad.
Hitting the dizzy heights
Hitting
Spotify.
Dizzy heights on Spotify, so.
No, big thank you. Big shout out to everyone that obviously listened last week, tuned in and commented and left all that nice feedback. It was it's really great to hear. And hopefully as we go forward, we'll keep giving you good podcasts and all that good stuff. Yeah, so what have you been up to this week, mate?
I've been doing a lot of practice for EUIC, big Pokemon tournament coming up, for people that don't know. That's it, you know, just other hobbies. I went bouldering today, but...
very good.
Yeah, bit of exercise. What about you?
I've just come back from the pub.
Just come back
as
from the pub?
As you can see, I'm wearing my pub attire.
What happened at the pub?
Newcastle United were playing Manchester United today, and I did have to make a quick trip down to watch the match, and it was a good result, mate. It was a good day. And,
fantastic result. Old Roy come back. That's an easy win against Leicester. We actually played really well, so
it's all good. All good results today. Anyway, this is not a football podcast, but that is my. I'm going to sneak it in because I'm very happy today. Obviously,
I actually really like that. Just want to quick mention is I wasn't sure about that kit, but looking at it on you now, actually, it looks really nice.
It's such a nice kit.
The Saudi colours.
Like it. Yeah, it is. Yeah. I know there's a lot of... It's a sensitive subject, but it is a very nice kit. If we just take everything else away and just say it's a green and white kit,
nice.
Which we've had green and white kits in the past, so we have. And I know what it represents, but the kit itself is really nice, and I do like it, and I thought I'm going to buy the away... I don't generally buy the away kits, but this year I did, and I do like it. It's a little snug around the arms, but I don't know whether that's just because
they're all
got
like
a
that.
Little bit
My
of...
Like that.
Well, thank you, mate. I'm pleased. They're all like that. We'll just
they're
say it's nothing
no,
to
no,
do
no,
with
they're
me.
All, no. Seriously, nothing mine are like that as well, because they're meant to be tight. As a football. Anyway, enough football talk.
Yes. Other than that, mate, this week... being deep in the terror raid battles, the new 7-star terror raid battle for Samurott. And it was a bit of a doozy. Obviously, really a difficult raid to begin with, because I don't think it was easy for people to figure out how to kind of beat the Samurott. And I feel like at that very initial stage when it dropped, a lot of people were left a bit like, oh my God,
I didn't notice that.
How are we going to deal with this thing?
I think it's definitely been one of the harder ones since...
The
hardest one? I think people struggled with the Greninja one a little bit.
Greninja one was difficult because the screen went up quite early on in that one, and Greninja did hit pretty hard. I think the thing with the Samurott is obviously the focus energy turn zero before the raid even starts. And I had already put the preview article up in the middle of the week and did go over Cloyster in that build, and I subsequently posted about the shell armor ability being something if we suspected the focus energy that could be useful against it. So that's what it kind of turned out to be, and that's what I kind of fell back on, and it worked out brilliantly. And then the Taurus build was mentioned on that video. Actually, the video I dropped like an hour after the event went live, and then there was a comment on there from Brandon, one of our viewers, said about the Taurus build he'd been using since the raid dropped. So he's probably the first person to actually use that. And then I tested it the next morning because, as you know, mate, when these raid events go live, it's like stupid o'clock in the morning in the UK. So it's that's another story anyway. So I was super tired after recording those. I had work the next morning, so I had to try and get like a few hours sleep. Went to bed, woke up the next morning, tested it first thing, and the Taurus build works really great. So I was like, I want to share this with the community, put that up. And they're really two really solid builds. But subsequently, since then, there's been a bunch of builds that people have come out with, and it seems to be an easy raid to do once you know how to kind of deal with it. But that's pretty much what I've been doing the latter part of this week. and managed to get a bit of luck as well with the shiny Oshawa as well. I did a shiny hunt for it, and I got it on 49 eggs, mate. 49 eggs, which beats the pants off any of the other ones I've tried. Which I normally give up on a little bit because I think by the time I get it, it's way too late. It's not relevant anymore, but I've been able to do it this time around. So that was pretty nice. But other than that, mate, and then dropping in and out of the regional, it's been going on this weekend and doing a little bit of practice. So that's my week. And I've probably taken up half the podcast just to explain that. So sorry, man. But
no, that's fine. What do you want to talk about first?
I was going to mention there's been quite a lot happening this past week, happening in the Pokemon world. The first thing I was going to mention is the return of live local events are coming back to play Pokemon, which is
it's about
huge
time,
thing.
Baby. Jesus,
it's a huge thing, mate. It's a huge thing, right?
It makes the game so much more fun.
Yeah,
it's so it boring does. When you can't do locals. I know. I don't know, you know, they maybe change the point structure. They don't count towards day one invites or whatever. I don't care, but it's just better for practice. You get to see your friends more often and it makes you more invested in the season when you can only really go to like one regional because it costs us so much money because you have to, you know, like 500-600 quid to go to a regional. Even in the UK, it's ridiculous, right?
It's so expensive now,
You know, especially like, with you need the locals.
Yeah, you do. And the local scene is like any local scene. If you play competitively, either TCG, VG, whatever.
Or anything, like even Smash and stuff. Look at games like Smash, like locals are massive for that. Yeah. So it's really important to help.
Yeah, it's like your baseline, right? Of like building your community friends, you're building your kind of experience for that season. And it just kind of propels you into the bigger events. And I always think as well, mate, I always go back to, if I go into tournaments, which I have done recently, like the two regionals that I've played in recently, Liverpool and then Utrecht. I've went into those super cold. I haven't had much preparation, but I've played no tournaments beforehand and I hate doing that. I always feel like if I've got like locals are really good for that just tournament, raw tournament experience to feel like, okay, I know what I'm doing. I've learned a bunch.
It's best of free practice. You can't get that anywhere else.
And against real people that are playing for something. There's something on the line and it's actually, you know, it is the best you can get, like practice wise, outside of like actually just going to the events themselves. So,
and you're not paying £60 to play.
This is very true. This is very true. Very, very true. So April, as of now, as of when this video is going live, April will be when TCG locals will be returning. VG is going to be a little bit longer. It's going to be into May, which is a little bit sad, but I mean, at least they're coming back, right? But it will be a little bit later on.
I think VGC, I hope there's
Pokemon Go Challenge as well, which is awesome for that scene as well, because that is just a scene that keeps on growing all the time and it's only going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And I do still believe that the Go community, the competitive community in Go, is eventually going to surpass VG, TCG, and TC and VG are not going to be able to even compete with them. I think the Go community competitively is going to be the biggest thing in the future. Hot take.
Do you want to, running on from that, you said there was quite a bit of drama with Pokemon Go this week.
There was, actually. Yeah, this is good segue, mate. Yeah,
Do you want to explain? I've got no idea. I saw bits, people complaining on Reddit. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I'm not like massively familiar with all of the drama, but I understand it all. Niantic came out earlier this week as well, obviously, with an adjustment to their pricing for remote raid passes and a limit on the remote raid passes as well. So, yeah, the raid passes will now, packs of three, as you can see here, are going to be 525 coins, which is a huge hike from what they were before. Prices, single remote price raid pass has gone up to 195 coins, again another hike, and then the premium battle passes are going to be up to 250 coins. Now it does appear on face value like it's just a total cash grab, and that's what my instant thought was, but when I talked to a friend who's very in the Go community, explained it to me, he said it's kind of Niantic's way for getting people out again after COVID, after everything's kind of settled down now, getting people out and about playing Go properly how it was originally meant to, because
so
they changed
them to not pay here. They don't want them to pay because they want them to go out. Yeah. Was that their excuse?
Well, that's their excuse. Well, they're limiting how many raid passes you can use per day as well. So that is one of the things, you know, that is making people actually have to go out to these, like, you know, exclusive events for exclusive legendaries, because legendaries in Pokemon Go have always been very exclusive, like tied to certain events. And it does suck. I live in the middle of nowhere, so I literally have nothing. I have, like,
you gotta remember, like, the whole point of Go is to go out. And I mean, when Go come out, like, people are out playing it everywhere. So I guess it doesn't make a lot of sense from their perspective. I mean, it's kind of half and half. One, they just want to do it as a cash grab. And two, this is also a good excuse to be like, get outside. So
yeah, 100%. Like, I do feel like there is a cash grab in there amongst it all. But I think it is pretty much reverting back to how the game was meant to be played. And it keeps the legendary Pokemon more exclusive, which they should be, you know. If I get a legendary Pokemon, you know, I got Zacian at Worlds. If I hadn't been at Worlds, I wouldn't be able to get Zacian. Like I've seen, like, you know, I've got one Pokestop and one gym around me. Like, you can walk miles. There's nothing else. I have to go to the local town to get anything else. So for me, it is a bigger deal. Like, I've always had to go out and do it. The raid passes were great during lockdown.
Yeah, because
I could go online. I could get access to these more exclusive legendaries that I wouldn't have had before. So I think, like, I can see where they're coming from. I don't know if I agree with it, but I guess for the good of the game, we'll see. Hopefully it works out well for everyone in the end. But yeah, I don't think it was one of those things where it went down well in the community. As you can imagine, you know, like with the price hike in general, it's not going to go down well with players.
Yeah, I mean, anything
when you're not getting an improved service for something, but you're paying more for the same thing that you've been getting that, like, the last forever, however long, you know, and now you're having to pay more for it, mm-hmm. and you're not getting anything increased. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean,
it's got cash grab written all over it, but I know there's other reasons behind it. But whether or not those other reasons are just an excuse to do that or not, who knows?
See, you know? I don't know. You know, I unfortunately don't have a lot of experience with Go. So, I can't really comment. But like you say, the scene is growing. And you're right. I mean, VG is going to get left in the mud, really, compared to...
I think so.
As we've talked about, they might even get rid of it compared to, like, Go. I mean, Go's center stage now, like all the events... You know,
I don't know if they'll ever get rid of VG.
I mean, I hope they don't, because obviously I like playing VGC, but I don't think they'll get rid of it either. But, you know, it's definitely going to get put on the back burner, especially if Unite eventually takes off. But who knows with Unite
as well. Hopefully it's all just one of those things where it is all four platforms.
The better good.
Kind of, yeah, all do well out of it. And all of them kind of keep going and keep going at the same time. So none of them get left in the mud like, you know, Pokken did.
Yeah, that was sad.
So that happened there with that this week. And obviously, if there's any Go fanatics that watch this, do let us know, get in touch, let us know more details about it, because obviously neither me or Scott are in the competitive scene, or like, really, like, I play Go quite frequently, but I'm not really in the community as to speak, is at the forefront of it as much as other people. So I do like to keep in the loop with things, though, as they're going on.
Yeah. I think while we're sort of still talking about events and stuff, I think it'd be good, I did, to mention that Regulation C has started now for VGC. Those of you that play the video game know that, similar to the CC as well, it changes. They only introduced format changes often in a season quite recently, but whether or not you agree, I mean, I personally don't think they should change it that often, especially when we have such a short VGC season. We've moved on to Regulation C, which includes the Ruin Pokemon.
On top of it, to our trusty source, it's Serebii. It's Battle Season 5 on ranks, ladder and things like that, mate. And running from 1st of April till the 30th of June, this rule set. And all it is including is the Ruin Pokemon, the Ruin Legendaries. So Wo Shen, Shen Pao, Ting Lu, and Chiwu. So they are the four Pokemon that have been introduced on top of the existing format, which was Regulation B, which they're coining it. So the banned Pokemon, as you can see, is a much shorter list. So things like Charizard, stuff that we're getting from the Terra.
Why is Quagsire banned?
You can, mate, you should watch my guides. You can get it. It's a trade Pokemon in the games. You can trade a Paldea
Lupa. So why is it banned? It's regular.
Because it's a regular one, yeah. So same with Zoroark, because it's like a gift. These are all the 7-star Terra raids.
Do you think, noticed how it says up to June 30th, isn't it there? Do you think for Worlds, do you think they'll change it before Worlds and then include those Pokemon?
No, I think they'll keep it. The thing is, they might do, right? There's always the argument that Pokemon Home by the 30th of June, by the 30th of June, because that is way beyond early 2023, right? So you would imagine Pokemon Home will be compatible by then. Then we're going to have access to way more Pokemon. It would make Worlds as a format way more interesting if you've got all the Hisuian Pokemon in there, you've got all of the other starter Pokemon. And
I guess the problem with it is that we're not getting a new game next year, right? We're going to have the DLC.
So in order,
if you want to have a different format next season, you can't really have an unlocked dex now.
That's what I think, yeah. I think it'll be national decks next season.
Yeah. But maybe they just add a few other Pokemon in, say, you can use the Hisuian Pokemon. I don't know what they're going to do, but
I think they might just leave it Regulation C until the end of World. The thing is that contradicts this. I believe the Regulation C will be the rule set for Worlds. The thing that will contradict it is if we got into season 6, which is battle ranked season 6, which would be starting on the 1st of July, and they say everything's allowed now from Pokemon Home, that you can actually legally access in Scarlet and Violet through Pokemon Home transfer. So every Pokemon will be a national dex almost. It won't be a national dex because you're going to get national dex will be when you get like everything from the DLCs as well. So, you know, there'll be stuff in the DLCs that hasn't been revealed yet. So they'll be like the new Pokemon. But come July the 1st, say national dex is now the rule set and they don't change the rule set for Worlds.
Yeah.
And then no one's got, this is my problem, like, and then none of the players have got an official platform to actually practice
on. Yeah, that is annoying.
Which has happened in the past. And it could happen. So I don't know, mate. Hopefully not. Hopefully it's Regulation C just dragged over until the end of August. Because what would it be? July, August, September. The next rule set will be till September. So then it will be the end of September. So you start in the new rule set in October after that for season. That would be season 7, which would then make sense in October to say, right, it's going to be National Dex from now on. And then you could add in, if you still wanted to change the rule set throughout that season, you could add in just the DLC Pokemon after the DLC's launch. So the next rule set, which would be December, which would be season 8, which would be, let's add in all the new DLC Pokemon from DLC 1.
Yeah, because I added in Sword and Shield, that's how you got Urshifu, right? Because Urshifu was really popular.
Yeah,
and that was an Isle of Armor, one of the DLC
Isle of Armor, and then you had a bunch of other Pokemon that were included in the Isle of Armor that were then in the regulations. So you had like things like Politoed is something I remember being introduced in the Isle of Armor. There was a bunch of other Pokemon as well, and then Crown Tundra obviously came in and then had even more Pokemon like Mamoswine and stuff like that, and then all the legendary Pokemon after that. So they could do it like that, I guess. I just wish they would just have a rule set for the entire season rather than chopping and changing. It's like personal preference, of course. I just prefer to have a rule set for way longer where it can develop and really develop rather than having it for 2 or 3 months and then it's just starting to get really interesting and then they change the rule set again and then it starts all over again. So,
I mean, it makes sense. In things like the TCG, I think it makes sense. But like with the VG, I mean, like you said, by having, a season long format that doesn't change towards the end of the season, you get some really funky stuff. Because, people will be like, I need to start running You know, all of a sudden a really offensive Pokemon is now super bulky with assault vest, or, you know, you're running specific things to encounter. A lot of people do that anyway, but, you know, it gets like the specifics get really niche towards the end. Because these top level players are like, I need to find a way to counter this for worlds. I'm going to run assault vest Groudon, you know, with Trick Room or something, you know, just because something completely different to the start of the format. And because it means that you are kind of, I guess, restricted in the sense that you are, you know, you're only allowed to use the Pokemon that you have access to. But I guess it kind of forces you to be more creative, especially towards the end of the season where everything's become stale. And you know, you have to come up with something that, you know, isn't just like Zacian, Landorus, Thundurus, you know, Kyogre, Groudon, no, just like all the standard stuff. So I personally, I'm with you with that. I wouldn't mind like a mid-season adjustment, but not like a three format changes, especially when we only start in January for VGC. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
So, because like the two regionals I've been to this year, it's like both of them have been different rule sets, and both of those rule sets have been like ending a week after that regional I've been to, and it's like
maybe it'll be different when the locals come back, because especially without locals, they're even more dumb. Because it's like, how are you going to get any practice for this? As new format happens, how are you going to get practice for this regional? Like you said, the one regional that you're going to during that format, how are you going to get practice for that? So it makes even less sense.
Exactly. No, I completely agree with you, mate. I think a mid-season format change would be great. Would be fine. It keeps it fresh then, because there are all going to be certain sections of the community that are going to get bored with that rule set or didn't like it to begin with. So at least with a mid-season rotation, then hopefully those players can come in. You're never going to please everyone either, but then it gives a lot of room for kind of development of the format, like you said, you know, and things to go forward in a way where it's not going to be, oh, we're just changing now and you've got to learn this new way to play and
fun
and keep going like that. Yeah. So I don't know, mate, but the trend at the minute seems to be every 3 months. And I also don't see another thing changing, but like to mention,
you also get like developments of individual teams. And one of the things that I really enjoyed doing in 2019, probably my most successful season, is running the same team the entire season, because it really allows you to get into the nuances of the team. For me, as someone who's not really that good at the game, who doesn't practice as much as other people, to be able to play the same team with a few tweaks here and there, it's like confidence inspiring going into events, because you're like, you know exactly what you're going to do. Okay, the match buzz might change slightly, but it's just having confidence going into an event makes a world of a difference to your enjoyment, to the way you play, you know, to how well you do. You know, it's just, I just think that is one of the reasons, I think, arguments why it shouldn't change. But I guess we're just going to have to wait and see.
Yeah.
You know what Pokemon are like? They keep changing.
No, I do. I mean, well, yeah. I got a lot of opinions on it. We could do a dedicated show on this for sure at some point. On the back of that, though, mate, the other news in the competitive world this week was the announcement of updating championship points for online events. Now,
this is
online,
wild.
This is
didn't
really
it used
wild.
To be like 30 for first place?
I think it was 60. I think
and now it's 160.
Yeah. Now it's 160. It's the equivalent of a regional for coming first in an online tournament. Best
you could cheat with this. So this is what I don't understand, because I thought that's what their argument before was, like, you know, they're not giving out high CP powers because technically you could literally just pay someone to do it for you. Mm. Not that, you know,
I think
you
that's a lot of players'
find
arguments.
Someone to do it, but like.
Well, there's Gorston, isn't there? Gorston,
especially in the younger scene, right? If you're in seniors or juniors, right? And you're an adult and you play, and your son plays, you'll be like, "I know how to play this game way better than you do," you know, and just like win.
Yeah, I think
so that is
the
downside
huge problem
of it.
With it. Yeah, a massive. I don't know how you get around that either. I don't think you can online.
And it's best of one as well. It's one of the one things I did agree with that they've done. They've done for a long time, is it? Okay, the CP powers aren't great, but, you know, if you do well, it's a nice bit of CP. Mm. But also, at the same time, if people are cheating, then it doesn't really matter because, you know...
It's not massively
impactful. The payouts aren't... No, exactly.
These are impactful, though.
Yeah, these are impactful. These are big numbers.
This is a regionals-level win. Yeah, and I think this is the disparity between... this change, and then the championship point payout for regional level events. It just seems so wrong.
They 100% after Worlds, they need to rework the CP structuring for a lot of things.
For everything.
Particularly the changes I think they should make. They need to change. I do agree with people that locals shouldn't count towards day one, day two invites. Then count towards day one.
I don't agree with that at all.
You don't think so?
No, I think why? I don't know why there would be a problem with that. I think if you've got a best finish limit on local events, yeah, then what's the issue there?
True. No, I think that is. I forgot about the beer. I forgot about that. Because normally it's a two, right? It was two.
Normally like PCs are normally like five. Mid seasons are normally two or three. And I think that's fine. Like, but honestly.
I think people's argument, but again, you can make the same argument about regionals. Unfortunately, it's just location. I think some people argue that some places they have, Italy used to be one where they would have like events every weekend. And some people would be like, oh, well, I live in this tiny town and there aren't any events there. We're like, well, yes, that is, you know, technically not fair, but at least this way, again, I guess either way you do it, but like everyone is, it is location-based, but everyone is on a level playing field. So you could go to as many like locals as you can. I mean, we've got some great stories of our friends going to locals in other countries and stuff, you know, just for the trying to get the CP. So
I think
they should stay, but I do understand the argument for not.
I think it just comes back to like the whole restructuring of the championship points, to be honest, because I think like you restructure the championship points in a way where your best finish limits are maxed out on your locals, but even if you win everything from those best finish limits, it's not enough to, it can be enough to get you a day one invite, but it can't be enough to ever get you in a position where just on locals alone, you're going to get a day two. And I think that's where the structure needs to come in to make it like more fair. But I don't think players should be punished in a way where they're attending locals and performing well, and it's not contributing.
What you have to remember as well is
their season as an overall.
You're right.
Do you know what I mean?
One of the other arguments is, and again, it does happen because I'm not, like, I've definitely been to a few events where there've been like a couple of people.
We know stories, mate.
We know stories. But also, if you live in someone like the UK, the PCs and MSSs that me and you used to go to were stacked AF. And people's arguments, you know, have been like PCs are easy to go to. Like we just said, sometimes you can go to some and they're not there. But other times, in certain places, especially the UK, they can be very stacked. I'm talking about like, we have had mid-season showdowns where we've had like 30 people, but then like 15 of them. Like, we're just like this, but then you've got like most of the people that are good, the best players in the UK, sorry, is what I'm trying to say, that are also there, well as
we've
some
had mid-seasons. And I know you've been at them. There've been like 60 plus players in a mid-season.
That's what I mean. It's wild. So that argument is true, but also not true. It does, again, unfortunately, come back to location. But for us, particularly,
it's because we don't really have as many of them in the UK, I think, as other places, because in like places like Italy, where you've got a way more structured local scene, you've got way more choices for players to kind of attend and go to different events. Whereas in the UK, I feel like we were kind of, especially the last season before locals got taken away, you're kind of limited to a very select number of places that you could go to for your locals. So they were always going to be stacked for that concentrated kind of core of players that were attending all these events, chasing invites day two, day one, whatever. So it was always going to be like more difficult, you know. But I think you're going to get that scenario in a lot of different places where it's a bit of scarcity, isn't it?
I'm just getting like flashbacks to locals now. Like you get all these weird memories and playing in like these fucking freezing cold halls and like, you know, running back for lunch because you've gone out for Mackey's for too long and you're trying to get back. And, you know, I just some of them other ones we've been to have been like so cold. I mean, one of them, I was recovering from jaw surgery. I just remember being like in so much pain, but I wanted to play. I think I was sitting on your lap or Terence's lap or someone's lap. And I was just like, I don't want to be here, but I want to play Pokemon. And then there's this like picture of me at a local. I'm like, because this one of them was like the seniors and juniors were like thrown in with us because we didn't quite have enough. And like,
I've got green hair and it's looked like at Christmas and I've got this like Christmas hat on and like I'm so depressed. Like I must have been playing like really bad. And I'm playing this junior. And I'm, like this is a picture of me with like a frown on. And I'm just like clicking buttons, but I just did not want to be there.
Look like a Christmas tree playing Pokemon.
I look like a Christmas tree playing Pokemon. It was like yeah. It was like that. But again, I mean we could do a whole episode on like stories just traveling to events because I mean you probably got way more than me, but I've definitely had again, one of the main reasons that I play competitive is just the experiences and the people we get to meet is just like next to none. So there's not many hobbies you can do, you know.
There isn't.
It's, particularly like, or at least accessible esports where you can compete at this level and travel around the world. So, yeah, back to your original point, they do need restructuring, regionals in particular, especially if they continue to stay the same size.
Yeah.
Because now we're looking at regionals that was the size of what EU, like the international championship ones were when they first started, you know. I think the first year we had the EUIC, which is the event that's coming up, if you guys don't know. We used to have nationals. So you used to have the locals, which were called PCs and mid-season showdowns. Those were like low CP payouts, so 30 for PC. And then 50 for mid-season. Then you'd have your regionals, and then the big one at the end of the year was normally your nationals. And every country would, well, most countries that had a decent scene would have a nationals. Italy used to have one. We always used to have one. Did they have one in Germany?
France.
Spain.
Germany.
Yeah, they all had
Well, it used to be normally, it used to be, it originally started with UK nationals. France or Paris would normally be the place where it was held. And then you would have Spain, Madrid, and Germany. So there would normally be like four. Per season for Europe. So they'd be a European national championships. And then Italy got one. Spain got taken away after, coincidentally, it got taken away around the same time as the debacle that happened with Ruben, which is a completely something we're not going to get into in this episode. But that happened, and then Italy became quite prominent. I think the attendance, the amount of players that were turning up at the French national was not high, so that one got kicked. So it ended up just being UK, Italy, and then Germany. And then obviously it transitioned into the IC after that, which I do miss nationals. I do miss nationals.
International challenges, championships, instead of the nationals, we now have like regional ones. So we have one for Europe, we have one for Oceania, one for South America. Is South America?
Yep.
South America, yeah. One. And then one for North America.
Yeah.
Asia has its own scene. It's very weird. Again, we could talk about that on one episode because
interesting, yeah.
It's very interesting.
Japan run their own events. They're on circuit, Korea run
they still
their own
have
circuit.
That. I think in Asia.
Yeah.
But yeah, we won't go too deep into that.
Yeah.
So anyway, so back to my point was the original EUIC, so the first one we had in Europe had 500. 2017. Mm-hmm. We went to that. They had like, it was in the 500s and that was mad. We'd never had events like that before. The numbers was awesome. The following year we had slightly less than that. So it'd gone down a bit in 2018. And then I don't know how the following, so that was, I don't know how 2019 went. That was in
Germany, wasn't
Berlin.
It?
That was in Berlin because I went to that as well.
It's probably around the same as the previous year, to be honest, mate. Because so you're always going to get... Go on.
I was just going to say, so those are the numbers we used to be getting for these big tournaments. We're now getting those numbers in regionals.
Yeah.
Which is like crazy because most regionals, you know, you'd be lucky... People would, like you'd want big numbers because you want like a larger top cut, not just like a top eight cut. But then now we're getting like 500 people at a regional, which is crazy.
Yeah.
So they need to change. I mean, like EUIC now we're looking at like 1,000 players, which is like double, which is crazy. So they definitely have to restructure the format next season, especially if it stays the way it is.
Yeah.
And
I think it's a good year to do it after the
world.
They
can always change it back,
Japan.
Right? It doesn't matter if they change it for a larger audience and then it gets less popular again. Like, just change it back.
Yeah.
It's not,
and
like,
I think the one thing
them,
I would say with, you know, obviously being a caster as well, I do have a little bit of knowledge about, I don't have all the knowledge and I definitely am not an employee of Pokemon, so I don't know the ins and outs. But from what I've heard, how things operate, it is very difficult to make changes in the actual circuit because of the layers of kind of sign off of anything that has to be done. So it goes from TPCI in America, it has to go all the way to Japan and then signed off by them.
I guess they have to do all the changes before the season starts.
Yeah, and you know what? I think the one thing I would say is, you know, you've got people like Kay, you've got people like Chris Brown, and they are always, always wanting feedback and wanting to improve things. And we have seen massive improvements to the circuit over the last few years. And, you know, a lot of the things that do get implemented in the game aren't always down to them, and they are aware of things that should be changed but maybe don't have any control
they still play the games, right? They're not idiots. They know that if there's a problem, like if they do work for Pokemon, they're gonna be like, well,
yeah, but I think my point comes back to, I think a lot of people kind of that play the circus and things like that think that, you know, all of the issues are down to them not listening or not being able to implement things quickly. But
they don't know what the problems are.
What I'm saying is, I think they do know what the issues are, and I think they are trying to make changes. And I just think it isn't an easy process. And I think if that was communicated, I think it would make it a lot easier for the community to accept. But yeah, I think because obviously it's a hard thing to come out and communicate, because are you allowed to communicate certain things? Are you allowed to come out and say that this is the situation? You know, it's a difficult one to do, but I think, yeah, things are improving, have been improving. I think it's just a slow process, and I think over the next few years, hopefully things keep going in the direction that they're going, and Play Pokemon do listen. So I think that's a big thing to keep in mind. I think just have a bit of patience, and although some things that are happening right now you might not agree with, I don't agree with a lot of things, and I'm quite vocal about it.
You can't please everyone.
That's the other thing. Someone's always going to be upset with something that is made, changed, or whatever, or something isn't working.
They can make a change that's really good for like TCG and Go. That would be fantastic if you were them player, but it could massively impact VGC. You know, that could easily happen. So you know, it's going to happen at some point. Oh, like I said, we've seen it happen, but you're just not going to please everyone. So.
It's impossible. Yeah, so that's that anyway, mate. It's good. I like that, mate.
I like it a lot.
While we're on the subject of Scarlet and Violet, I'm just going to throw up this.
Oh, the little advert. Can we watch the little LeChonk thing that they made?
I haven't seen it, mate.
Okay, I'll send it to you.
I haven't seen the advert.
Why talk about that and I'll get the little advert up?
Yeah, so now there is a mystery gift running at the moment in Pokemon Scarlet and Violet for a flying Terra type LeChonk that you can get in your games. I don't think there's anything really exclusive about the LeChonk other than it has got the flying Terra type, which isn't something that is impossible to get in games anyway, but it is available at game stores around different game stores worldwide. Obviously, Canada, US, it'll be GameStop. UK, it's going to be It Game and GameStop in many other places. Game Mania over in Belgium and the Netherlands, and Micromania in France. So they're all the dates. They're running to about mid-April. So if you're in your local store, you can ask for a code from the cashier or employees that work there, and they should give you a little code that you'll be able to get this free mystery.
You get a card as well, I think.
Do you get it?
I think in game you get a little card, unless it's just that thing there. I'm sure I saw someone post about it on Reddit today. It might just
that looks
that.
Like something
I might be
that
wrong.
You get, and that might have the code on the back of it. Maybe. I know they did that with which were the last ones that they give cards out for. I think Xerneas in Yveltal at game, where you got them and there was a little scratch thing on the back, and you got the code from that. So that was what they did for that. So maybe they're doing something similar.
I just sent you the link to the little video they made.
What
on Twitter.
What? Twitter? Mm-hmm. Twitter?
I mean, it's on the official Pokemon channel. It's like...
Is it?
I don't know if they're trying to tease something, but they're like, Pokemon together. Don't know if they're trying to do something. Whoa. Or it's just Chonk, LeChonk, everyone loves LeChonk type thing. So
everyone loves LeChonk.
It is adorable. It's like a little pug. What have you done?
Got rid of you, sorry, mate. That was right. Like solo me for a minute. Sorry. It's kicking you off.
And again. Time,
yeah. Right, here we go. Here it is.
Yeah, it's really cute.
Full screeny.
It's so cute.
It's very wholesome, isn't it?
They just know how to. Like, I would want like a Lechonk plushie now. Like, I feel like it's on like a similar level to like a Bidoof or something. They just got me, man. I mean, that's it. But I mean, it was enough to be like, damn, I want my own Lechonk.
That was nice. I liked it. I enjoyed that.
Cute little one. Send
that over.
Where
were we? We were Lechonking it, weren't we? Yeah. So, oh man, this is playing. I was like, who's that talking? There's a little video in the corner there.
Oh, confusing.
So confusing. Yeah, that's Lechonk. And yeah, go out and get it. Get it in your games where you can. I don't know if I'm going to be even near a game before the 14th of April. So I'll try. If I can get extras, I'll give some out on the next pod.
Oh, mate, remember when I used to give, like, good. We're going back now, but like events inside of like gate, like Toys R Us and stuff.
Yeah,
like to get like, I mean, you'll remember it more, but like I never really got a chance as part of the era, but it's like the only way you get Darkrai and Shaymin, like all the legendary when you had to go. I remember when I was younger, I was like just constantly trying to look up like how can I get this Pokemon, but then the events would have finished. I'm like, I can't get Shaymin in my double anymore.
It's so impossible annoying. To get it now. Yeah, I remember doing like
websites now that replicate the codes for the games, so you can go onto a website and if you want to play, get it in Pokemon Diamond and Pearl, you can get the Shaymin. They do it for you. Amazing. It's really cool.
That is amazing. I remember going to the 2001 World Championships, red, blue, and yellow, and queuing up as a little me with my copy of Red and my Game Boy and getting a Mew from the trade event, from this like machine, this huge machine that they plugged into your Game Boy, and then they traded you a gift Mew. And that was pretty cool. And the best one that I ever did was the Celebi tour. I don't know when that was, but it was just pre-release of Crystal. And they did a tournament on Gold and Silver. And we begged, me and my brother, Scott, also called Scott. Not you, Scott, but damn also it. Called Scott. You're my other brother.
Rather from we another
begged,
brother.
begged our parents to take us down because it was like in Leeds, the closest one. We begged, and my dad was like, okay, I'll think about it. If you do some jobs for me this week, we were off school, so I think it was like an Easter break or something. So we had 2 weeks off. So this whole week, we'd been doing all of these jobs for my dad because he was the only one at home. My mum was at work that week. So we were like cleaning the windows. We were like scrubbing his shed, like repainting the shed, all of these really crap jobs that we were doing all this week. And I mean, he definitely milked it, right? And he got to Friday night and we'd been asking him all week, and he was like, well, we'll see by the end of the week, we'll see how you get on at the end of the week. Got to Friday night and we were sitting down for dinner and we're like, okay, dad, so are we going tomorrow? He's like, nah, I don't think we will. And we're like, what? You literally enslaved us for an entire week. And he was like, nah, we'll go. And I'm like, come on,
you.
Like, you. But he obviously, it went on for a lot longer than just that momentary second. But yeah, so we went down to that anyway, and me and my brother had actually built our teams in game. Gold and Silver hadn't been out too long. Like, the competitive scene has started to develop, singles teams and things like that started to develop. I can't remember what we played on online. Was it Pokemon Online or Shoddy Battle or something like that, that you could practice online? Anyway, we built our teams in game, and we were feeling good about going down, doing well at this tournament. And we got there, and we got on the line. We got talking with people about their teams. Still felt good, thinking this is gonna be a good day here today. And then they announced, today's tournament is going to be on Pokemon Stadium 2. We were like, brilliant. We can play on Pokemon Stadium 2. It hadn't been released yet. Get to play on that. And you'll be using rental teams only. We were like, what And I got, so you had to beat your first opponent to get into the tournament. Got randomly paired up. I managed to do that. And then you, obviously it was single elimination, GS Cup rules, so 3v3, rental Pokemon that you could beat. And I got cheesed out in like round two by, what was it that flinched me? I was using Wobbuffet because I was like, Wobbuffet will be really good in this tournament. And I got cheesed out by this guy who just flinched me for like six turns in a row. Flinch. So I couldn't counter or miracle or anything. And then that was that. And then it was very sad. But the whole takeaway from this, why I'm telling you this, is because everyone that got into the tournament got given a special copy of Pokemon Crystal, which had 20 gift Celebes on the cartridge, right? So it was a full copy of Crystal and 20 Celebes on the cartridge. And what you had to do was you had to trade. They give you a list, like a sheet of Pokemon as well, where you had to trade each Celebi with friends, supposedly with friends, and you had to trade them with friends for specific Pokemon. So you had to trade like one Celebi for a Charizard, one for a Snorlax, all these different things. And you had to trade them all away for these specific Pokemon, have them in your box, and then you sent this copy of Crystal away, and they would send you a real copy of Crystal back in the post, which is pretty cool. So what I did was I traded them all to my copy of Pokemon Red. My copy of Gold or Silver, whichever one it was at the time. So I traded them all for these specific Pokemon. I did it. And then I sent the cartridge away and they actually sent me a copy of Crystal. So I've got my Gold or Silver cartridge, wherever it is, my parents, has all these Celebes on it.
You just traded the other Pokemon for like anything?
Yeah, I didn't really have anyone locally around that time that still played, you know. The crazy kind of died down then around where we lived. So there wasn't really anyone that played that we knew that would even want one of these Celebes. So
you just traded with yourself.
Just traded with ourselves, yeah. And then
you know they really sent us
a copy, yeah. That was cool. That was one of the coolest things that I did. But, that's sick.
I miss the cool cartridges.
Yeah,
we don't get that anymore.
No, like we don't.
Say, we used to get colored cartridges.
Crystal's cartridge is awesome.
It's shiny. It's so sick.
It's glittery. Amazing. It's amazing. Yeah.
Just those little
emerald as well. The green one. I love that cartridge.
Given up with like making them look, just even like a shiny sticker makes it look so cool. Like when you see
it's black and white, like a hologrammy sticker on it. I think I'm trying to think. No. Black and white too. No.
Not that I had. No. And go check. I don't think it was.
I've got the box for black and white too, I think, up here. Give me 2 seconds. Entertain the people while I just go and get this.
Hello.
It's not like I'm going far, but you know.
Oh my god, he's completely disappeared. What do we do? I'm wearing a Pikachu onesie. Yeah.
I'm back. Don't worry, people.
That was quick.
He's got on his own by himself for too long. Bad things will happen. So this is a box. So the box is not in any way glittery. I mean, the art looks nice, but the art normally looks cool. No, you're right. You're right. No. It's just normal.
It's
bit sad about that. There's Omega Ruby, Alpha Sapphire. Are they not blue and red cartridges?
Mm-mm.
Did they really just stop doing it in DS land?
Uh-huh.
Are you sure?
Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire aren't. They're gray.
Are they?
With a stick on.
I should know this, but I want to say that they're red. But they're obviously not. That is sad. Yeah, I mean, they started out with colored cartridges. Red was red. Blue was blue. Yellow was yellow.
Yeah, but they didn't.
Gold was gold.
Diamond and Pearl.
Gold was gold. Silver was silver. Crystal was the cool looking.
Crystal color.
It was like a terrestrialized crystal, wasn't it? And then
Ruby Sapphire, Emerald. Far red, leaf green.
Blue, same green. Thing again. Yeah.
Diamond and Pearl, they were like, yeah, no, we don't care anymore.
Diamond and Pearl were grey, weren't they? Yeah.
Grey cartridge.
Yeah.
It's not, no, why?
No, sure why. That's such a good point, mate.
Even though, like, the boxes, I know they do, like, the get the steel cases.
Stadium 2 was, like, a gold, like, a like a glittery gold cartridge. Yeah.
Yep.
Lazy, mate.
Lazy.
It's the little things as well that
that's what I mean.
Fans like. We like it makes those just, little details.
One is something to collect, and two, it just makes it a bit more exciting. The only thing they do is like the steel back versions, which aren't. There's nothing.
Yeah.
Oh, they're just steel. They're crap.
Yeah. Rubbish. I'm not a fan of those. I've got them because I buy the double packs. It's like, damn. What was that?
My new K-pop album just fell down.
Oh my god, it's a sign. What the Ready fuck? To be.
Did you just break? No, it's fine. We're all good.
Hopefully. Is it all right? All good. We're all good. All good. I can't even remember what I was about to say. It was quite I'm sure it was relevant to the topic at the time. But never mind. God.
Ah! Hey, sorry, panic over.
If you could buy the DLCs as a cartridge, would you buy them or would you just download them? Game, like with the game, so you could buy Scarlet and Violet with the DLC or like already like downloaded, updated to the update with the DLC as a cartridge. Would you buy it or would you just say, nah, I'll just get the download because I've already got the base?
It depends on if, again, like you'd have to give me a reason to download it. Like, I mean,
to download it or to buy it?
No, as in like, sorry. To buy it, you'd have to give me a reason because, I mean, normally I've always bought games. Because I don't see the point in downloading them. Someone bought me Scarlet and Violet as a downloadable code. So I was like, that's fine. But I mean, they're not really giving me, like, going back to what we said, like, what's the incentive to buy a physical cartridge? Like, because I'm never going to sell it. Because that is my argument normally for having a physical cartridge.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, well, what do I do then? You know? So, no, basically, my answer is I'll just download it. Even if I had the physical copy. They would have to go some way in order to make me want to buy it.
Yeah.
So.
I just wonder.
Yeah. No, what would you do?
I think as a collector's piece, I would probably buy it, but I'd probably keep it sealed as like a... Because I've got Sword and Shield sealed because I really enjoyed those games. So I'm like, I do have quite a few Pokemon games sealed because like, eventually I would like to get them graded so I can have them as like display pieces. So I think in that case, I'd be like, yeah, I'll buy those ones as my kind of part of my seal collection for those. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I'm very tempted to buy. This is a total tangent. I'm very tempted to try and get myself the Legend of Zelda OLED limited edition.
Yeah.
For Tears of the Kingdom.
It does it nice.
So nice.
The dock just completes it. Crappy dock completes it.
Anyway, mate, we're going off on tangents all over the shop here.
We need to talk about this new TCG set before we
this end, one.
This is
the 151.
This is going to be worth so much money. I'm telling you now. I mean, it's pretty obvious to anyone with a brain and knows anything about Pokemon. This is just going to, yeah.
I'm very excited. Well. It is 151. You can kind of self-explanatory. It's going to feature all of the original 151 Pokemon.
When does it come out? Do we know?
Interestingly, I think May, 16th of May, I think. Interestingly, though, it's the first set to have Kadabra in it for the longest time because obviously there's all those issues with Kadabra, with the lawsuits about not being able to use Kadabra because of, is it Yuri Geller?
Yeah.
Yuri Geller thing. So this one's actually going to have it in. It's going to have Kadabra in it, which is pretty awesome. So there even details it here.
I want to get that in Japanese. As well as the English set.
I think it'd be really
definitely
cool.
Definitely going to go that as the Japanese one to keep.
So it'd be good. Let's see when is it set to come out. I want to see the 16th. Don't know if it says here, does it?
When will the set release? 16th of June in Japan.
16th of June. Okay, so I was a month out.
No word in the UK.
So yeah, very cool. I'm very excited for it, mate. I think it'll be a cool set. I wonder if it'll just be a side set rather than an expansion to anything that's like current.
Maybe a holiday set or something.
Yeah, maybe. Makes sense. Yeah. So there is that, which is quite exciting this week. What else we got to talk about? We've got
the Switch 2 you're talking about?
Switch 2, the saga continues with the Switch 2. There is
maybe
more details
you mentioned
Connor.
Something about backwards compatibility possibly, which we talked about.
Yeah. which we talked about last week on the pod last week. We did talk about, you brought up the point. It was a very good point as well, mate. And one of the things that I would say about this is Connor, who we covered last week, talking about the new Tegra chip, also kind of updated again, according to my source, next gen Nintendo Switch dev kit have been sent to developers. So that is big, because now the developers are going to be able to
probably coming soon then,
making games for the new system, which is,
I'm calling it next year. So they'll announce it this year, coming out next year.
I think early 2024. I think that's probably like around February, March time, right? Do you think?
I've honestly got no idea on actual dates. I don't know, when did they drop the original Switch? Was it was it like January or anything like that?
Maybe special? It feels too, like, it obviously feels optimal time to drop it just before Christmas so people buy it for Christmas, right? But it feels too late now for them to, is it too late now for them to announce it, to market it?
Unless they do it for the following Christmas. So the original Switch come out on March 3rd.
Oh, so they're probably going to do
maybe another March release. You could be right about that.
Yeah, it's interesting because there is a lot of chatter down here, I think, about backwards compatibility. Do you think there's the same cartridges? If it ends up having backwards compatibility, my guess would be a slot that fits original Switch games and Switch 2 games would have a slight change in shape.
Why? So use the same one.
No, just they're saying it would be the similar one, but you know, between DS and 3DS, notch.
Yeah, but why? Why change it? It doesn't make any...
I guess because then you can't use Switch 2 games on the Switch, so you have to only use them on the Switch 2, so that would make sense for that. So there is that. Yeah. And then the only other thing I've really got that I want to mention this week was Riddler Koo, our good old friend Riddler Koo. So if you aren't aware of Riddler Koo, he is a very reliable leaker within the community. He puts out riddles, which are in the form of kind of leaks, always very accurate, and it's left up to the community to kind of decipher them. But this is a very interesting one that he put out earlier this week. Both version info, here's the first batch of mons who are gonna wear special hats or masks in Sudachi, which is where the first DLC will be located. Got a clue and not a surprise, huh? So it's interesting that all of these are the ones that are referring, the masks are referring to this, which is the scene in the DLC trailer, which obviously depicts obviously Pikachu, Eevee masks, as well as the what we imagine are the other starters. But it would make sense that all of the 7-star terror raids are somehow tied into this special feature as well. You know what I mean? So I thought that was pretty interesting. And it's always going to be something that Charizard and Pikachu, big fan favorite, well, big Game Freak favorite.
Big fan favorite. I mean, Jesus.
Yeah.
Huge fan favorite.
They're going to get everything, aren't they? Because they're so popular with Game Freak. Particular, but I just thought it was interesting to know. I think Saul Silver, who's a leak analyst, goes on to say a little bit more as well. In the first DLC, I am all but certain that the three new Pokemon will be able to get all Pond's mask or have their own masks and transform into something close to what we saw in the live action trailer. They kind of look like Power Rangers, but I'm excited to see them redeem these designs for me. So, yeah,
I wonder how big the DLC will be as well.
I think it'll be big, mate. I really do. I think it'll be a good size, because it's coming out quite late, isn't it? It is coming out quite late. I do have some extra things for this week for you. There's a couple of, after last week, you showed me that advert. Now, I don't know whether I show you a shorter one this week, because we are getting on for time.
No, I think there's
a shorter one.
Yeah, just because we're nearing the hour mark now, so I'm not going to go for too long.
Yeah, and I don't really want to spam on with the longer advertisement. Actually, let me just see how long this advertised. I think this one is pretty long, but I have been hunting around. This is only 4 minutes. Is that too long? Too long to probably watch and then talk about.
Yeah, so this is just short because we can save it for next week. Give us something to look forward to.
That one was quite special.
We can have a segment. I think we should have a segment for Pokemon adverts.
Right. We can, I did find this one as well. I've got quite a few, actually. I've been really... This is only 30 seconds, right? Okay.
Okay, I'm ready. Okay.
Can you see this?
Not yet.
No, you can't, right there. I'm just gonna pop this open.
Okay, all right.
It's not so much weird. You're not gonna be able to hear it, are you?
No, do I need to hear it?
Probably not.
Okay.
It's kind of weird. I never even knew this existed, but I'll just press it and yeah, mm-hmm. Here you go.
Damn, that's a Pokemon musical if I've ever seen one. What? That looks. Does it look weird? I mean, that Pikachu looks freaky, man.
Man, yeah.
Jesus. But I feel like if you were a child, you'd be like, yes, if you love Pokemon, you want to go see that.
How good is this? How bad is it? There's some things in here that I just need to go back and say. I mean, I don't know what's going on with Jesse and James there. They're not really. I mean, the outfits look good. I don't know. There's Ash.
Okay.
Brock.
Okay. That's another thing that's accurate.
They're not the most accurate. I mean, look at this Hypno at the front.
Bro, that is literally Things of Nightmares. What the hell?
We've got a Victory Bell there.
That's probably the most accurate thing.
That looks good. Is that Pidgeotto? Articuno.
No, it's not only Articuno because there's Zapdos next to it.
No, that's Pidgeotto there.
Dude. Oh, no, you're right. Okay, right.
It has to be. It can't be Articuno. I mean, you're right. It does look, going on the basis of how bad this is, right? And then, yeah, Zapdos there. Why is Pidgeotto the same size as Zapdos, though? I'm sure that, yeah. Anyway, was there a picture of Misty? We've seen the other two.
Let's get forward. Misty in here?
There's the luck. Great headshot. I don't think there is one of Misty, you know? How do you feel about this, mate? Have I done well in finding something for us?
Yeah, this is weird.
I don't know what this is. I wonder if we can find
actual
What food. Is that?
Yeah. Oh, a Team Rocket robot?
It gets better, mate. It gets better because I didn't just find this random advert and leave it there. I found a full recording of the entire stage show. The 1 hour, 50 minute stage show of this Pokemon Live.
No way. We'll have to skim through that one episode.
Look at this, Ash in his bedroom with his little...
my God, it's so freaky. It's the same size as Ash.
And then, yeah, we've got all this... There must be, like, battles going on throughout it. And then Team Rocket obviously doing a thing.
How do you do a battle? I'm so confused how you did a battle.
Yeah, I don't know. Because the Pokemon... must be Professor Oak there. So, we've got all of this. All of this good, wholesome... I don't know what's going on, but you know what? If this was still gone now, I would pay to go and see this just for this. Would be fun to go and watch.
Mm.
Yeah. So this is one of the things I found, mate, this week. But I do have the, if anyone wants the entire 1 hour, 50 minute show, it's quite a long show as well, right? For a stage show.
It's a long show.
It's a long stage show. Yeah. If anyone wants the link, I will. I'll pop it down in the description, I guess.
Maybe we do a stream where we watch the whole thing.
Maybe that would be really cool. That'd be cool. That would be a really cool evening. A watch along.
If people wanna take part in that, maybe one Sunday we'll do a live stream and we'll watch it together.
That would be really good. Yeah, I can put my Snorlax onesie on to match your Pikachu one.
Yeah, of course.
We can get some popcorn and we can watch this and see. See how what tales are unfolding in the world of Ash Ketchum, Brock and Misty with the picture that I've got the still of here is Ash's mum and Professor Oak. We might get some extra storylines that we've never ever known about before, but I thought it was funny that someone's got the whole stage show on camera.
It's classic, isn't it?
Brilliant.
Excellent.
But that's, I think, everything this week, mate. I don't think there's anything else other than it's been really fun, mate. Thank you so much for taking the time, mate.
flies by.
Flies.
Whenever I talk to you, not me. So
flies.
We've got some good ideas, some pods coming up. Yep. Again, we've got so many stories we could talk about. We're going to do an episode where we talk about, someone was asking in the comments about our backgrounds with Pokemon. I think that'd be a really good one to go through, because I know like Lee has a really sick background with Pokemon, as he's touched upon today. So, and then I could talk about my experiences, and then maybe we'll do an episode talking about like some of the stories we have as well, because I think that'd be really, really fun as well.
That's a nice idea, mate. I like the idea of that. That'd be good. Yeah. So, yeah, keep the suggestions coming. If you've got ideas for what your topic specifically you would like to, maybe that we haven't touched upon in this one, you'd like to have covered in future weeks, do let us know, of course. I don't think there's much else that I want to add in. Just say thank you again to Scott, and thank you to the viewer, you guys, for supporting the pod, because yes, we are in the early days, and it is just, it's,
we
so
did really
enjoyable
well
to do.
We got like almost 1500 views, which for a video podcast is really good, like,
yeah,
so especially considering
everyone's, thank you so much for the support.
We're going to keep it on the channel for now, probably maybe for a couple months, and then we will eventually migrate over to its own channel. We just want to get settled first.
Yeah, get it set up, get into a routine, get a good consistency going with it, get a good feel for how we're doing these. And because we do eventually want to do the live ones as well, integrated with these kind of like static ones that we're going to put out just every week. So we do want to mix up everything. And I think it'd be nice to get the viewers involved as well in them as well. I think that'd be a nice part of it. So that is the plan further along the line. And I've just jumped in and cut you off, Scott. So I'm sorry, I let you finish.
That was it. No, I mean, you were basically going with what I wanted to say. So thank you
just stole it
for listening, if you made it this far. I mean, I look forward to doing this again next week.
See you next week. Yeah.
We'll see you next week.
Sure. Oh, before we go, and I know I'm dragging it on, there is supposedly a little rumor going around that there's going to be some impactful Pokemon news coming out this coming week. So it might have already come out by the time of us putting this pod up on Wednesday. Might not have yet. So there might be nothing at all, but there might be something really spicy to talk about next week. We'll have to wait and see, but definitely come by, because if it has happened,
we'll be talking about it.
Yeah. All right, Scott, take care of yourself, mate. I'll see you next week. Everyone else at home, thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
In the next pod. Bye-bye.